AARP, StoryCorps, and the Ad Council.
Welcome. Grab your favorite morning beverage and join us for Morning Cannolis with Jim Santel.
You don't know me, but I'm your brother.
Sampling the news desserts of the week, here is your host, Jim Santel.
Good morning. This is the second hour of Morning Cannolis. We're talking this morning about two very significant documents released this past week on Wednesday, the release by the Department of Justice under court order of this now three-year-old memorandum written to the former Attorney General justifying the publicly announced decision that the Bob Mueller report did not support obstruction of justice charges, a memorandum that is rife with factual misstatements and legal misstatements, as many on all sides of the political aisle are this morning and in the past several days commenting about. A document that, depending upon your time as you go forward this beautiful weekend in Wisconsin, other places throughout the Midwest, you may want to pick up and determine whether or not, on your own analysis, the things that are said in that memorandum are in fact compelling and meaningful. In fact, we know that history flowed from that memorandum, and the narrative continues to this day that there was never any obstruction of justice. What is the significance of that? Why is this important even 3 years later? I'm going to talk more about that at the end of this second hour. But at this time, we'll simply say that the Office of Legal Counsel, as I hinted at during the course of our first hour together, is an entity of the Department of Justice that is intended to be the straight shooters, the people who provide the Attorney General, he or she, with information and insight and direction and legal counsel, that's its name, about things that he or she may be proposing. And this is truly an office that should be speaking truth to power. It is troubling at a minimum, that a memorandum inside the Department of Justice, and that's where the Office of Legal Counsel is, responsible to the Attorney General, should author such a document that, again, full of legal misstatements of the law and factual misconstructions of the report itself. We'll talk more about the connection between that and then the other big news of this past week, which we're going to get to in this hour, related to the release of the affidavit in support of the search of the Mar-a-Lago residence in early August of this year as well. Not in 2019, but just a few weeks ago. I should mention as well that next week, once again, we're going to be back here again between 9 and 11 with more stories about law and government, the aspiration of justice, and going to very much welcome my friend and colleague Don Brown, who, as you know, does This Week in Waukesha so very well this morning again from the Farmers Market. Also does these terrific broadcasts of Friday Night Football right here in Waukesha. Don, when we were rescheduling our plan to get together this morning, wanted me to know, tongue-in-cheek, I'm sure, a time for a bit of levity in an otherwise very serious morning of discussion, that when he was an alderman here in the great city of Waukesha for many years, tremendous service by Don Brown to our community. There was never any time that he didn't return all documents to the city that he may have developed or temporarily maintained while he was in official office, and properly returned those at the end of his term when it was up just this past April. And so, Don, appreciate that comment, and looking forward to talking with you more next week about a number of different issues, including the kinds of things that public servants should be doing. And we're going to spend a lot of time with Don and others in the weeks ahead, chatting about the role that government plays and the importance of integrity in all of these kinds of things, including the Office of Legal Counsel. That's a little bit of a hint about what's coming up at the very end of this hour as well. The conclusions that we draw from these documents of this past week. Wednesday, the release of this memorandum going back to 2019. And then just yesterday, the release of this 40-page document that is the support describing the probable cause to enter into the personal residence and perhaps office as well of the former president in Mar-a-Lago in Florida. We talked last week before this memorandum, this supporting affidavit came out, before it was released by the magistrate judge, again, upon the concurrence of the attorney general. We talked about where a search warrant comes from, a little bit of recitation of that once again. Search warrant, not a predicate for anything beyond searching. This is not a charging document. No one has been charged with any events related to the retention or destruction or even maintenance of documents here in Mar-a-Lago. This is an effort to investigate whether or not there have been crimes in the nature of improper taking, improper retention, perhaps destruction, perhaps even use of documents in an unofficial and in this instance, perhaps unclassified manner as well. Again, no one, including the former president or any members of his staff, prosecuted, but could in fact result in those charges. This a part of an investigation. And so, as we talked last week, as you all know well, a magistrate judge, not a Title III judge appointed by a president, but unless appointed by the local judges there for a term of years, his name is Bruce Reinhardt. Back in early August, the early part of this month, Bruce Reinhardt took a look at this 38-page memorandum, this writing by a special agent of the FBI. It's called an affidavit. It's a sworn document. It is a codification. It's a summary of all the information that the special agent had up to that point about what he had gathered in connection with the documents that were known to be at the premises at Mar-a-Lago. I'm describing with some particularity, invoking three statutes, which we'll reference again in just a few moments or so, three statutes that were arguably violated by the fact that these documents are there, transported from the White House to South Florida, maintained there for purposes we do not know, but nonetheless improperly there because they may be in violation of the Presidential Records Act. They might be in violation of something called the Espionage Act, which again protects information and sensitive information that goes to the security and safety of our nation. And so invoking those particular criminal statutes in the federal law, proposing to this judge, this magistrate judge, that permission be granted judicially to go into that house, those premises described in the search warrant as a mansion, and it is, with many rooms, many bedrooms, and an office called the 45 office, asking permission to go in. Why? Because there's a reason to believe there is probable cause in the language of the law to believe that there will be evidence of a crime under these statutes found in that location. Again, not a unilateral initiative by the FBI, not something that the Attorney General or any assistant U.S. attorney or any federal or state officer can simply do upon his decision to go in. It's got to be reviewed by and was reviewed by a federal district court judge who plainly examined it and found probable cause. Again, not to charge anybody at this point, but simply give authorization to do just that. So, in the wake of what we know to be the issuance of the warrant, Merrick Garland did indeed release previously the cover pages of that warrant. We talked about this at some length last week. A cover to the warrant itself that again described the location, this Mar-a-Lago location, what it looks like, what the address is, what the mansion partakes of, where you can go when you go into search, and then the kinds of things that the search warrant authorized that could in fact be seized. And those also again part of the document released by the federal magistrate judge this past week, giving permission to the FBI agents under sections 793 and 2071 and 1519 of Title 18, the Criminal Conduct Code of the United States of America, to seize physical documents with classification markings along with boxes in which those documents are located. Also including information, communications in any form regarding the retrieval or storage or transmission of national defense information or classified information, government materials that may have been taken in connection with the presidential records responsibilities, and any evidence of alteration, destruction, or concealment of those records. So a very broad mandate by the magistrate judge to go in to the specifically described location for a specific period of time, grabbing these records and bringing them back. And in the wake of that, obviously, news media, much interested in knowing the specific basis for probable cause, asked the magistrate judge to release that underlying affidavit. Again, a little bit of civics this morning, as we often do. It is unusual. It is atypical for a search warrant and certainly an underlying affidavit to be released, certainly into the public domain, prior to the initiation of any formal prosecution. And so most routinely, this is not unprecedented, but most routinely, in criminal cases, both federal and state, an investigation, as I said, sometimes partakes of a search. This is one of those events in an investigation. And the mechanism for challenging it, for challenging whether or not this search should have happened, whether there was probable cause, follows the actual charging of an individual or a corporation for violations of the federal law. So routinely, investigation happens, might include a search, seizure of documents. The analysis of those could lead up to a grand jury indictment under the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution, a return of charges against a person. And then after those charges are issued, the government produces discovery, which would be the results of a search of this sort. And it's in that setting that a defendant, including, for example, the former president, if indeed the decision is made at some point to charge him, it's at that time, and that time only, that there is a proper basis, a proper procedural status to challenge this warrant and determine whether or not it was issued in the first place. That's the way the federal rules and the federal procedure it contemplates that this happens. We know that the former president has filed what he described as a motion to address this, and there's a related civil action that could be brought, but that's not the normal procedure for pursuing this. But along the way, plainly, a great national interest in knowing what this affidavit says. And so the news media of all kinds, I asked the judge in formal pleadings to release the memorandum. And the judge, in a hearing of about a week or so ago, said that he might be inclined to do it. Why? Because there's so much national interest, and also because in the wake of the search of early August, an awful lot of misinformation out there, a lot of misunderstanding about how this works and what some of the predicates for it were. Just this notion that this was not the FBI simply going in unilaterally. There was a finding of probable cause, and so the magistrate judge almost certainly, in his oral statements and other things, indicating he wants to release something. And so he told the Department of Justice to go back and look at this 38-page non-public document and see if there are things that could be released to the public without compromising the investigation itself. And the Attorney General took that homework seriously, went back, and just a couple of days ago gave the magistrate judge a redacted version that the department said they could live with. And surprisingly, the magistrate judge turned right around and at about noontime yesterday directed that the Department of Justice release that affidavit. That's the subject of the remainder of our discussion here this morning on Morning Cannolis, and also inviting your calls, your questions, calling in at 844-967-2789 as we discuss the content of this affidavit in support of the search at Mar-a-Lago. Continue to join with us, have this discussion, and be with us this morning as we talk about this very important issue in the investigation of this.